Now, welcome to another inspiring edition of Sound Insight with Dr. Tom Curran.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. This is Dr. Tom Curran. I've got a couple of countdowns that I'm going to be talking about today. The first that has a lot at stake in it is a 9-day novena leading up to the March for Life. It's something that Sacred Heart Radio is supporting with a daily novena. Today's the first day, and I'm thrilled to be part of that. And so I'm going to be praying through and going a little bit into this novena so that it'll be a blessing to you. And there's another countdown we'll talk about in just a minute.
Hey, this is Dr. Tom Curran, the host of Sound Insight, but also a realtor serving wonderful folks like you in the state of Washington and in Idaho. I've had the privilege and pleasure of helping dozens of families in the last 2.5 years discern and find a strategy, a path, and a plan to help their families find a whole new life in Eastern Washington and Northern Idaho. If I could be of service to you in that, I would love to. Please reach out, drtomcurran.com, drtomcurran.com.
Welcome back to the program. Let's begin with a prayer. I'm going to read Luke chapter 21, verses 34 to 37. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Be on guard, lest your spirits become bloated with indulgence and drunkenness and worldly cares. The great day will suddenly close in on you like a trap. The day I speak of will come upon all who dwell on the face of the earth. So be on the watch. Pray constantly for the strength to escape whatever is in prospect and to stand secure before the Son of Man. Jesus would teach in the temple by day and leave the city to spend the night on the Mount of Olives. At daybreak, all the people came to hear him in the temple. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today, and I thank you for the gift of our lives, the gift of our faith. And Lord, I ask a blessing upon this program, upon this day, and upon these days leading up to the March for Life. Lord, we do pray for the proclamation of the gospel of life. We pray for a reception of the gospel of life in every heart, in every mind, in every life, and in our institutions and in our political structures and laws. Lord, we do pray for the raising up of the sanctity and the dignity of human life from conception to natural death. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of life. And we make this prayer in Jesus' holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I mentioned there are two different countdowns that I'm going to talk about. The first one, I never really thought of a novena like a countdown. It's more of a counting up, heading towards. And so is the second one. But this first one is a beautiful thing that Sacred Heart Radio is joining in on and helping to promote, this 9 days for life, Respect Life Novena. And you can find it at respectlife.org. And I'm gonna pray through that. I'm going to pray that, but I'm just going to announce first what I'm going to be covering in the course of the program. Then we're going to dive right in. We'll do the first day of these 9 days for life. And the second countdown is related to the scripture passage that I read to begin the program, Luke chapter 21, verse 34 through 36. And I did read 37, and you'll know why. I'm going to do a little bit of an exegesis into that passage. I'm going to break it open. It's almost more of a kind of a living meditation on that passage and how it has struck my life when I first mentioned it to you all last week. And I've had a chance to dig into it a little bit more and found a really beautiful treasure, a treasure of a surprise in going through the scripture that I'll be sharing with you. And then, if there is still time, in honor of this week where we're in a very special way respecting life, and in the days leading up to the March for Life, I'm going to share a bit about the way in which Carrie and I, and in my own ministry, have been impacted by the reality of birth, as well as other decisions that are associated with birth, and that involves adoption or abortion. And so I'll share a bit about that today, if there's time. I don't know how long it'll take for me to get through the exegesis, but I want to begin with, I'm going to begin with this Respect Life Novena. You can find it at respectlife.org, respectlife.org. And you'll see right on that homepage, the 9 Days for Life Novena. And I'm thrilled that Sacred Heart Radio is diving in and pointing folks to this, to be praying together for the gospel of life in all of its forms, and in a very special way with regards to the sanctity of human life from conception in the womb all the way to natural death. And so today, the first day, the intention is that the tragic practice of abortion ends. And it is, it's a tragic practice. I think that's a powerful and important word to say. The tragic practice of abortion would end. Yes, Lord. And so together, I'm going to just invite you to pray with me an Our Father, three Hail Marys, and a Glory Be. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Now, this is a brief reflection. At every stage and in every circumstance, we are held in existence by God's love. That's actually the beginning of the Catechism, paragraph 1. By the way, it's not quoted here, but that concept is right there. At every stage and in every circumstance, we are held in existence by God's love. The presence of an illness, disability, or other challenging situation never diminishes the value of a human life, or the dignity of a human life, or the image of God quality of a human life. God does not call us to perfection of appearance or abilities, but to perfection in love. Christ invites us to embrace our own lives and the lives of others as true gifts. That's true. Every person is a gift. Singular. They have a unique quality. There's a preciousness about them. There's a never to be seen again, never to be repeated quality of human life. Abortion tragically rejects the truth that every life is a good and perfect gift, deserving protection, and let's say requiring protection, demanding protection. This violent practice ends the life of a human being at its very beginning and horribly wounds all of those involved. But Christ came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. That's John 10:10. Taking on human flesh for the sake of our redemption. May our culture, under the laws and policies, the systems and organizations of societal support, experience the power of God's transforming love, that all eyes may be opened to the incredible beauty and goodness and truth and dignity and value and preciousness of every human life, especially life in the womb. So that was the reflection I did offer my own little expansions. You could probably tell where I did that because I feel so deeply about this issue. It's so important, brothers and sisters. And then there's some acts of reparation. And all I can say is praise be to God. Praise be to God that after prayer, there is a section in here on acts of reparation to repair the damage that is caused by the act of slaughtering the innocent human life in the womb of a mother in abortion. And so an act of reparation, there are a couple of suggestions. One is take a break from television and movies today. Consider spending some of that time praying with today's reflection. Wow. You know, it seems on the one hand so minor, so small, so easy to say outside, to say aloud, right? The funny thing is that the people who wrote this are obviously old. Take a break from television and movies today. How about take a break from your smartphone and any other connected devices that gives you access to the internet, right? If you say that, take a break from screens and from any connected device that is going to link you to the internet and to digital in the digital world. Yeah. How about shut off that spigot and then spend some of that time praying with today's reflection? Yeah, absolutely. I'm in. I'm going to do that. Okay. I'm committed. And maybe you can do that too. Then there are two others. One is, again, a very simple thing. Offer some other sacrifice, prayer, or act of penance that you feel called to do for today's intention. Maybe you'll pray a rosary. Maybe you'll go to Mass or some other sacrifice. Maybe that sacrifice is you're going to sacrifice some of your wealth. You're going to give a gift that way. Sacrifice something that would be comfortable for you. Maybe you pray on your knees. Maybe you sacrifice a dessert or sacrifice a certain amount of food by fasting. But there's so many things that you can do for today's intention, right? To bring about the end of the tragedy of abortion. And then, so that was the second bullet point, or it's actually the third one. The second one was pray this short prayer, which is called Every Life is Worth Living, that reflects on the gift of human life. And it's very short, so I'll just pray it with you. Or I'll pray it, you can listen to it, take it in. Heavenly Father, thank you for the precious gift of life. Help us to cherish and protect this gift, even in the midst of fear, pain, and suffering. Give us love for all people, especially the most vulnerable, and help us bear witness to the truth that every life is worth living. Grant us the humility to accept help when we are in need, and teach us to be merciful to all. Through our words and actions, may others encounter the outstretched hands of your mercy. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. That's a beautiful prayer. And then there was one step further. And so this is the last, that's the third and last. The first thing is the prayers, the intention, then prayers, then the reflection, then the acts of reparation. And then the last thing is one step further. It's just about three sentences long. Abortion is frequently a topic in the news, political debates, and everyday conversations with family or friends. Because abortion can be a controversial and emotional issue in any arena, many of us may feel intimidated when the topic arises, not knowing what to say. And so there's a recommendation. Another Look at Abortion provides a basic overview and summarizes key points. And so it's an article. And this article will help you be better prepared to witness to the sanctity of human life. And I like that. I think that's a great and practical step because I agree. I think that, in fact, a lot of what will hold people back from stepping in to a conversation about abortion and why it should be, why it should remain illegal at a federal level and why we at the state level ought to work for the elimination of laws that permit and protect abortion. this slaughter of the innocent human life of a child in the womb. We have to be educated, right? If we're not educated, we're probably not going to take an action. So I like that. So 9 days for life. This is day one of this novena for life. And again, you can find this at a simple website to remember, respectlife.org. Respectlife.org. All right, Muppet gets a break. I'll be back in a minute.
Hi, this is Dr. Tom Curran, and you know me as the host of Sound Insight. I am also letting folks know that as a realtor licensed in the state of Washington and in Idaho, I love serving Catholic families and others who are discerning a move for yourselves. It's much more than buying or selling a home. It's discerning a whole new life. If that's something that you would find a help in, if I could be of service to you, please be in touch. You can find out more at drtomcurran.com. drtomcurran.com.
Hey, welcome back to the program. It's great to be with you. I really enjoyed that little reflection on that novena for life, leading up to the March for Life. I'll have a chance to share over the course of the 9 days a bit more about the way that Carrie and I raised our kids to have a sense of conviction and commitment to end abortion and to support women who are facing life-threatening situations for them, for their babies, in terms of at risk to and be abortion-minded, right? So I'll talk more about that. I want to talk about, though, today, this scripture passage that I began the program with. It was from Luke chapter 21, verses 34 to 36, and I'll get to 37, I hope, as well. And I'm going to connect it to that second journey, right? And that the second countdown, right? What's one of the images that people have for reflecting on life and the shortness of life, the countdown of life, the countdown of how much time I have here on earth, the hourglass, right? We tip over the hourglass, all the sand is at the top, and then the sand is coming down, right? And there's something a little bit, you feel the sense of urgency, right? When you tip over that hourglass and, well, at the beginning, there's so much at the top and there's like nothing at the bottom, and then it's moving. And depending on where you think you are in your own life, right, that hourglass is more or less sand at the top versus the bottom. And reflecting on the pace, the speed that sand is going through, well, first of all, we don't know how much sand is left in any one of our lives, right? That's the first thing. But if we kept that in mind, if we had an hourglass in front of us at the beginning of every day, and we had that sense of, you know what, the grains of this day are going by. And once the grains of this day gone by, it's gone. No more chances to live that day, right? You can't redo, no do-over on that day. And no redo on our lives either. So we get one chance to live this one life. So I'm going to dig into that a bit more by reflecting on some of the things that hold us back from keeping that in the forefront of our minds. You've heard of memento mori. It's that remembrance of death. It was the skull that you'll sometimes see in works of art of saints, that they're holding this, you know, this skull in their hands, or it's on the desk. Oftentimes it'll be on the desk, or maybe it'll be in the picture somewhere. And the idea is that what you're reflecting on the shortness of your own life. You're reflecting on the nearness and the reality of your death, and the fact that you don't know when it's going to come. Well, Jesus talks about this. Jesus addresses this and raises it to a level of like, you got to pay attention. You got to pay attention. Actually, the word that he uses is be on guard. Be on guard is what the North American Bible says in the older version of the New American Bible. It's the Bible that I have, and I'm going to continue to use it, even though it's been updated. The word in Greek is prosekete, which means take heed now. Take heed. Be on the alert. Be aware. Be ready. Be on guard. Now. Lest your spirits become bloated. And I remember when I shared the story last week, when I was led to this passage or stumbled onto this passage, God certainly used whatever the process it was to speak to me and say, whoa, I don't ever remember reading this before. It's not said like this in any other gospel. But in Luke, he brings up in the sower and the seeds, the way he talks about that third set of seeds that fall in the midst of the brambles, that they're anxious about these worldly affairs and the cares of the world. That's a theme in the Gospel of Luke. And so it shows up here, be on guard lest your spirits become bloated with indulgence and drunkenness and worldly cares. Wow. Well, what I had to do, or what I got the opportunity to do, and I'm going to share with you the fruits of it, was dig into this passage, not by relying on this particular translation, but going back to the Greek. And let me tell you, there is a radical difference between getting access to the Greek text of the New Testament in 2025 than it was in 1985 or 1990 or 1995, during those years when I was studying the Greek New Testament or the Greek fathers, and had to be able to read and translate Greek. It was so hard. It was learning that language, because it was all paper, right? There was no using a smartphone to look stuff up. And what is available now is shocking. I'm stunned, because you can get like every single word, every use of that word, every meaning, every place that it shows up. It'll tell you, it'll bring you to, word, let's take the word take heed. Oh, it's a verb in the present imperative active, and it's second person plural. Wow. Pick a word, and it tells you exactly, oh, this is a reflexive pronoun, and it's a dative masculine third person plural. Like, this is awesome. And it gives the word in Greek, it gives the pronunciation, it gives the English, and then if you touch on it, it'll take you to the different references that you can also see of that word was used in other parts of the New Testament. Wow. I got to tell you, learning or attempting to study and do research and learn languages or dig into some of the original language, amazing. Amazing. So that this for me, great example of a good use of what you can find on the internet. So be on guard, take heed. So Jesus, he is calling attention to something. And what he is calling attention to is, it first sounds like, right? Well, be attention to what? Be on guard, lest your spirits become bloated with indulgence and drunkenness and worldly cares. Now, he's saying be attentive and be alert and take heed against this stuff happening to you. But why? And we'll dig into the stuff in a minute. But why? Well, the countdown. He says the great day will suddenly close in on you like a trap. Whoa. That's the hourglass. That's the sand reaching the end of the following through. He calls it a great day, right? He calls it a great day. And yet, the day closes in on you like a trap. I don't think of great things closing in on me like a trap, right? I think of that day coming upon me like a trap is more like a threat. And just to be clear, Jesus is saying, the day I speak of will come upon all who dwell on the face of the earth. So what's he talking about? Now, you could say at one level he's talking about his second coming, but at another level, he's talking about the first going, meaning you're going to God. You're going and facing the Lord. It's the day of your death. And he's bringing about, I believe, something really crucial for our spiritual lives. And it's this. One of the great motivators that will make us change, one of the biggest assets that we have that will move us to change how we're living is a clear sense of what's at stake in our lives. What's at stake in our lives is revealed by focusing on the final moment of our lives, namely that moment of death. And at that moment of death, we face judgment. We face Christ. And as you know, if you've been following along, my 2025 word of the year is I want to live a 10X life. I want to live a 10 gold coin life. I want to live a life that is going to give a 10 times return on the investment that the Lord has given to me when he gave me the gold coin of my life, the gold coin of stewardship that I have in my life over becoming a saint and fulfilling my mission, not owning a certain kind of house or driving a certain kind of car or having a certain amount in my bank account or having a certain position in society. No, it's becoming a saint and fulfilling my God-given mission. Now, I can, guess what? I can become a saint with this car, this house or that house, this bank account or that bank account, this position or that position. Whatever it is, I'd better be becoming a saint, growing in holiness. And the mission that I have is associated with fulfilling the duties of my state in life, and the duties of my state in life, the duties of the job I have, the role I have, at one level, right? Just at a purely, let's just call it human secular level, is connected to the state in life I have. Well, I'm a married man, so as a husband and a father, I'm going to lead and provide and protect for my wife and my kids. And I'm going to do that through the work that is in front of me. So for my life, it has been church work by the gift and grace of God and the mercy of God and the generosity of the Lord that I've been able to do ministry as an adult, my whole adult life, most of the time, full time. But in the last 8 or 9 years, like half time or less. And alongside that has been my tent making work, which for about 20, almost 25 years was consulting with business owners and CEOs as a strategy consultant and executive coach. And then in the last 3+ years, as a real estate professional, helping families to flourish by really discerning how to profit in their whole discernment of how do I buy or sell and move my family to a place of flourishing, right? So that's me discerning, okay, God, I want to fulfill my mission. And the ministry, it's been taken on many forms. The work I've been doing, it takes on many forms. I better really be clear at the end of my life that not only have I used my days to grow in holiness, but I've used my days to fulfill that mission. Does that keep me up at night? Not enough. Does that impact how I'm acting day to day? Not enough. And so I shared with you all the theme of comfortable dissipation. This comfortable deflation of the spirit that came out of a conversation that I had over at dinner a week and a half ago. And it was in the midst of that conversation that I was sharing, look, I realized that this is, you can't live a half measures, the call that you have, right? And then the scripture came up. And here's the little treasure that emerged from my reading of the scripture. Jesus said, be on guard, lest your spirits become bloated with indulgences and drunkenness and worldly cares. Okay, let's take a look at that. And in the Greek, it doesn't say your spirits will become bloated with indulgence. It says, be on guard lest your hearts, the word is hearts, cardii, like the cardiac surgeon. And I think that's important. I mean, you know, your spirit, that's not bad, right? That I can see that they're getting at, the core of your being. But when Jesus talks about the heart, he's talking about the place of encounter. He's talking about that place where the Lord dwells. It is the place of the spirit. It is the place of the spiritual dimension. But I think there's something really important that take heed, right? Be alert, be on guard, lest your heart becomes what? Not bloated. The word in Greek is barethosin, which means to be burdened, to be weighed down. And I can see there is an association of this idea of being burdened or bloated, sorry, with being weighed down, being burdened. But bloated can just be kind of like what's the word? You know, when something is inflamed, when something is like just fat. When you hear bloated or burdened and weighed down, I stop and say, does your heart ever get weighed down? Does your heart ever feel burdened? And then the answer is, yeah, it does. Take heed, lest your heart becomes weighed down and burdened. Well, weighed down and burdened with what? Well, this uses the word indulgence. And this is the treasure. This is the surprise. This is the, oh my goodness, I didn't realize it. And it's the kripale in Greek. What's the treasure? I'll tell you in a minute. Hey, welcome back to the program. This is Dr. Tom Curran, and I'm reflecting with you on Luke chapter 21, verse 34 to 36. It was a passage that came to me. The Lord was speaking to me through it. And it's a wake-up call. It's a wake-up call at the beginning of this year. And the Lord, the scriptures are a living word that can strike our hearts. And this word is about the heart. Be on guard. Be alert. Take heed, brothers and sisters. Take heed, lest your hearts become overwhelmed, overloaded, weighed down with dissipation. What? Yes, with the word is dissipation. The word in Greek, kripale, it's the only time it's used in the New Testament. And the definition is dissipation. Now, the word that was used in English in this particular translation was indulgence. But indulgence doesn't really get at it, right? Because it says indulgence and drunkenness. It's connected. It's connecting those two. Indulgence and drunkenness. And then it says, and the cares and worldly cares. We'll get to the worldly cares in a minute. But dissipation is actually connected, or indulgence is connected to drunkenness in Greek. Essentially, it's drunkenness and the impacts, the effects of being drunk. Like, what happens to you? What's your condition that you're in when you are drunk? And it evokes the idea of stupor. There's a stupor. There is just a stumbling around. There is a lack of clear, you know, lack of clarity, a lack of cognizance to what's going on. There's almost like a dizziness, right? There's, you're not clear. about things. And this is the thing that's so striking when you kind of bring all of this together. When our hearts become overwhelmed and burdened, we will find ourselves in this mode of dissipation where we are spiritually wasting our resources. There's like leakage, just leaking out spiritual energy, spiritual strength, spiritual clarity, because not just of drunkenness, but of the cares of life. This says worldly cares, but the closer translation in Greek is the cares of this life, or the cares of my life, or the cares of life itself. So worldly cares does get at it, but worldly cares we tend to think of, oh, I'm caring about my finances. No, the cares of this life, it can be, you know, relationships, it can be my health, it can be yes, my finances and dealing with this conflictual situation. And so Jesus is saying, look, take heed, be on watch, be on guard, because your hearts just might become burdened and overwhelmed by the things that are going on in your life, such that you end up in this moral stupor, this spiritual waste, a deflation of your energy. You're going to dissipate your life. And yes, drunkenness too, right? So drunkenness means, of course, you know, taking in too much alcohol to the point of being inebriated, not having, again, a clear sense of being able to safely, peacefully, you know, move forward. but it's going beyond that. It's about also the cares of life that can leave us in a certain sense, like the way that being drunk impacts us. The cares of life can burden our hearts so much so that we're morally, spiritually deflated and stumbling around in a stupor, and we don't have moral strength. And I gotta tell you, I want to give you the existential, the reality of my physical condition right now and the way it impacts my moral condition. It looks as if I had COVID again. When I mentioned I had the flu for 2.5 weeks and it really knocked me down, it was terrible. Come to find out, I probably did. I never took a test, but all the signs and symptoms were there. It was not just the seasonal flu. And one of the reasons that we came to that conclusion, we, is because of Carrie smart enough and saying, Tom, you're getting this fatigue. You're like getting really tired. Even though you said you're better, why are you like going and taking a nap 2 times or 3 times a day, just out of the blue? What's going on? I'm like, Carrie, I don't know what it is, but like I'm up. I don't really have symptoms of sickness, and let's go get my list out, push through. I do that for, I don't know, sometimes it's an hour, sometimes it's 3 hours, sometimes it's 5 hours. But all of a sudden, I just fall off an energy cliff, just fall off. And I just feel exhausted. I'm not out of breath, but I'm completely out of energy. And I have to, like, I'm embarrassed by it in front of my kids that, like, I'm not that old where I need to go take a nap in the middle of the day twice. But I had to. And I still have to. And that's why I've missed some radio programs and we've had to do replays, is that, okay, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to do my program, and I fall off the energy cliff and I'm just completely fatigued. And I just don't have the strength. I don't have the energy. Dissipation, dissipated. And so Carrie says, look it up. And that's where we stumbled into the diagnosis that I likely had COVID, because there's this, I think some people call it long COVID, or other people refer to this COVID fatigue syndrome, Never heard of it. COVID fatigue syndrome. And it's, well, like almost exactly what I got. I'm like, wait a minute. That's me. I got that. And the most like disheartening part of it is that it'll last sometimes several weeks, sometimes several months, 6 months. And there's not really a, you know, a treatment for it. They mentioned something about eating and sleep. Well, I'm sleeping a lot. But I want to talk about eating for a minute. And Carrie and I, as we launched into this new year, we had this new vigor and rigor, this sense of, again, remember, vigor, rigor, generous, courageous. That's the kind of faith I want. The no half measures faith, right? The faith that is going to disrupt comfortable dissipation. Right? How do I get that gracious, radical disruption? That's still my prayer. It's still my thought. Still almost daily journaling on that. And this no half measures life gets it. And all of a sudden, this passage of scripture fits. This passage of scripture that I'd never noticed before. And it had more to it than I realized when I first read it, even though I was surprised by it and was like, wow, this is really striking. But what this passage of scripture is saying, hey, do you want to know why a comfortable dissipation, a comfortable way of life, a comfortable life that is marked by the goods of this world, the luxuries of this world, that leave me feeling very much at ease and secure against most of the threats of this world? Not all of them. We all have our little difficulties and the little turbulence in our life, the little waves, but all in all, everything's all good. Be alert. Take heed that comfortable dissipation may not, in fact, be significantly part of your life. I mentioned that dissipation, in Latin, dissipatio, is in fact a theme in our tradition, our Catholic spiritual tradition. It's in the St. Augustine in the City of God and the Confessions. It's in St. Teresa of Avila in her interior castle and in her way of perfection. It's in other texts. In one, this St. Leonard of Port Morris, he wrote a book on the fewness of those who are saved. Not pleasant reading. But in each of these writings, in the City of God, for instance, Augustine is saying, look, in the end, there's two cities. There's the City of God and there's the City of Man, right? The one where God rules, the one where the realm of the demonic and our fallen nature rules, and how we have to be submitted to God. And the theme of dissipatio, of dissipation, is, hey, you know what? If you give yourself to the City of Man, if you're caught up in the things of this world, the cares of life, Jesus says, you're going to experience dissipatio. You're going to experience this bloating, this spiritual or in the heart being weighed down, and will be in this stupor, like spiritually drunk, and not in a good sense, and not having energy to pursue. Remember now, what's at stake in our lives? Being a saint, fulfilling your God-given mission. And the way of perfection, right? Are you going to walk on that way? Guess what? You need to be detached. That's the big theme in St. John of the Cross, St. Teresa of Avila. Dissipatio is associated with attachment. When we are attached to this world's goods, we experience spiritual dissipation, a spiritual deflation, and a sense of burdening in the heart because of the cares of life. We're attached to these things. We need to disrupt that. Well, a powerful way of disrupting that is by fasting. And so for Carrie and me, eating healthy, big deal. Got to get this one right, right? We really want to get this one right. And so being able to think that one through and say, how are we going to get it right? Means we're reflecting on our eating. And I'll pick up on this in just a minute. Hey, welcome back to the program. All right. Hey, again, Tom Curran here, reflecting on Luke 21, 34 to 36. Please read that passage. Very powerful. Remember, be on guard lest your spirits become bloated with indulgence and drunkenness with and worldly cares. The great day will suddenly close in on you like a trap. The day I speak of will come upon all who dwell on the face of the earth. So be on watch. Pray constantly for the strength to escape whatever is in prospect and to stand secure before the Son of Man. So here's Jesus before he enters into his passion, preaching in the temple. And what is he saying? Pay attention. Your life is like this, like the grains of sand in an hourglass, and they're running out. You don't know how far it is. But you don't want to be caught in a state of comfortable dissipation. You've got to disrupt that. And fasting can do that. And the eyes wide open reality is, in my fatigued state, in my state of COVID fatigue, I just don't have much resistance to an energy to bolster a defense against eating badly. And so, despite my intention, my vision, the goal, the positive sense of, yes, Carrie, this is what we're going to do, and the fact that I'll even do that, I'll make it through breakfast. Carrie will make me just a couple of eggs that are very tasty. Like, this is my today. Coffee in the morning. I had eggs around 11 o'clock. I had with a tiny little bit of sausage in the afternoon, around 2 in the afternoon. I had a salad, very healthy. Got home, dinner time. Carrie made nice dinner, pork chop, and it did have some rice with that pork chop. And I'm like, okay, hey, I am on a great track. There we go. I'm not overeating, but I'm. You know, eating healthier foods, I'm avoiding the junk. And yet in the midst of all that, there are these temptations that it's like, oh, wait a minute. I know where there's some chocolate is, you know, like we got a box of chocolates at Christmas. Oh, let me access one of those. Well, if I'm going to access one, might as well have two. That happened today. Not because I really wanted it. Not because, oh, you know, it was going to go bad or whatever. No, I just collapsed, house of cards. And then Carrie was out. I'm like, oh, you know what I really like? It's nighttime now. Let me just make a small bowl of popcorn, which totally is off of what I'm intending to do. And it's like, okay, these aren't great sins. I'm not talking about like horrible sins I'm committing, but it's disheartening. It's discouraging because it is an expression of comfortable dissipation rather than vigorous, rigorous, generous, courageous living of my life of faith. I want to shake off comfortable dissipation. I want to disrupt it. And fasting is a powerful way to do it. And yet the very attempts to fast will do what? It will reveal the extent to which we are attached, that we are weighed down, burdened by these things that hold us back. And there's a lot at stake. That great day that's closing in on us like a trap, that day that will come for us all, every person that faces on the earth, Jesus says again, be on watch. Like, be watchful. Okay, I need to be more watchful. All right, pray constantly. Ooh, that's a big call, right? Right? Pray constantly. And so it's one of those things that in scriptures it's a pray at every season. Pray in every moment. The word that pray at every moment is a kairos. Pray at every moment. Praying in every in-breaking moment, every moment where God can break in, that you'll have the strength to escape these things. Right? You want to escape what? Escape things that are going to have you be attached and weighed down at that moment when the sand runs out of your life. Aren't you happy? Isn't this a happy program today? It's a sobering program. Oh, drunkenness versus being sober. Be sober and alert. Your opponent, the devil, is prowling like a roaring lion, seeking someone. Resist him, solid in your faith, right? That's from Ephesians. And so First Peter. So this reality of like recognize what's at stake in this moment happens when we allow the Lord in his word to strike our lives and be able to say, are you alert today? Are you praying constantly today? Are you fasting today to have the strength to remain spiritually alert? Your heart to be detached. The cares of the life are entrusted to the heart of the Lord. The things that weigh us down, bring them to the Lord. Lord, please take them. Lord, you have to help me because I'm experiencing the failure. I'm experiencing the comfortable dissipation and the effects of it. I don't like it. I don't want that. And so I am really grateful to the Lord for bringing this scripture to me, this Luke 21, 34 to 36. Sorry, my throat is a little bit dry and it gets scratchy. So I have to take a little drink of water. So please excuse me for that. Okay. And so Jesus is, I mean, he brings it out and the scripture writer captures it. This is one of the last things he says before he enters his passion. Actually, it is the last thing he says in the Gospel of Luke before he enters into the Last Supper. And so I want you to hear that positioning of that passage, it's meaningful. It's like, hey, here's all the things that Jesus taught in the course of his life in the Gospel of Luke. Okay, now he's approaching the Last Supper, where he's going to establish the new covenant, the Eucharist, the Mass, right, the priesthood. And the last bit of teaching that he does that is recorded there is about the end of your life. And be on guard. Take it seriously. Pay attention. Because what's at stake is eternity. And it's, even if you want to say, well, what's at stake is heaven versus hell. Okay, I feel confident. I feel confident in the Lord and the life that I'm living and the faith that he's given me, that he's going to save me. Okay, so it's heaven. Yeah, but it's, how are you going to live forever? Does that matter to you? Remember we talked about how important things like, oh, what car are you driving here? What house are you living in here? How much money are you making here? What kind of stuff do you get to do here? Where do you get to go? What kind of position do you have? What kind of, you know, friends and circles are you running in? And all those other things that are important for you in a life that passes so very quickly. Amazing is how quickly life passes. Like, when are we going to wake up? When are we going to be sort of shaken loose of the idea that those things that we spend so much hand-wringing energy around, so much time and commitment to attain, they just wash away. They just wash away. And we're left with what endures, which is the Lord in our relationship with him. And so I think that I think 2025 is going to be a big year in my own life for whatever reason the Lord gave me, you know, that word of the year, farewell. I think the Lord is going to say to me, Tom, you're just going to say goodbye to certain things in your life so that you can make more room to fare well, to live well, to become the saint that is fulfilling the God-given mission that I have for you. And then the scripture of living a 10x life, a life that is returning 10 times the investment that the Lord made in giving me my life. I want that. And you can want that too. I think, you know, you do want that in your own way. If you If you dare to acknowledge that, don't you want the Lord to say to you, well done, good and faithful servant? You know, I gave you one gold coin and you gave me back 10. Don't you want the saints in heaven to be crowded around at your judgment and you get to present 10 gold coins in your life to the Lord? I'm in. I want that. That's what I want. You just make the prayer. Say the prayer. I dare you. Pray it every day. Lord, whatever else you need to do to my life, please forge in me a life that will give you a 10 gold coin return. All right, I'm up against the end of my program. I hope and pray that this was a blessing. God bless your day.